We have started with a nice word in Parshas Shlach, a word from the Michtav Sofer, Yatim Shimon Sofer from Kroker. He writes on the Meraglim, was saying how they felt near the giants in Eretz Yisrael. We were like little insects crawling around, and that's how they saw us as well. So he explains that doesn't mean that they saw us as insects, on the contrary. So when you look at somebody's eyes, Svarim say that the reason why the eye is called the Ishan Ainoi, the small black part of the eye, is because there's an Ishkutin in there. You look into someone else's eye and you see yourself. Very, very, very small. You look at someone else's eye, you see your own reflection. So there's always a small person in the other person's eye. He says the Meraglim was saying that these giants are so huge that when we looked in their eyes, we didn't see a small person, we saw a huge person. Their eyes were like these huge mirrors that we looked inside and saw ourselves in full height. V'chein, Taichas V'chein, the way we are, that's a Yini Banayim. When we looked in their eyes, we saw ourselves exactly the way we are. This is an interesting word, a cute word, but just to try to apply it with some practical lesson. That people that look at other people and they see the way other people are behaving, and it has nothing to do with them. They don't see themselves at all. It's only the other person. They don't even realize if they had any part in something or some part of something or nothing. I see someone's doing something wrong, and it has nothing to do with me. Okay, that's obviously generally a big mistake when it comes to relationships. Then there are people that look at someone else's behavior, look at someone else's eyes, and they see a small person in there. Okay, so I see, maybe I could have done something a little different, but that person really shouldn't have reacted like that. And then sometimes we look in the other person, and if we're more self-aware, we see a big person there, and that's ourselves. Most often, when it comes to relationships, when you see someone doing something, there's always a big part in it that you could have done differently or should have done differently. Sometimes it should have, sometimes it could have. It's not about being self-critical and blaming yourself when someone else does something wrong, right? If you ask someone something and they scream at you or they're nasty about it, they did something wrong, not you, necessarily. But there still could be something that on your end you could do differently, you have worded it differently or reacted differently or expressed it differently or addressed it differently. That could have been a big part of it. So you'd have to take blame for somebody else's wrongdoing, but you can still try to figure out that's how relationships work. Relationships work that it's two people interacting, and very often there's so much that you could control just from your end. So I think that the idea of V'chein Yini Banayim is something that we could all try to apply. So let me try to address a topic. I addressed it not too long ago, actually, but let me explain. Okay. Dear Rabbi Gruner, I'm a Chassidish Ingerman who lives out of town. I have a wonderful wife who is a loving and caring mother to our children, Bli and Hora. It bothers me, though, that she doesn't even use basic makeup, even when I specifically ask her to do so, such as on Friday afternoons. Often she tells me that she barely has time for herself, or sometimes she says, I have beautiful soft skin, so why should I? And I say, of course you do, but inside I feel totally misunderstood. This has been going on for the last 3 years already, and I feel quite confused and frustrated. It should be noted that when she goes out to a wedding or family or friends or an event, she does apply some makeup, although she says she doesn't like doing so. Please help. Okay, so let me say this, that this is a relatively common topic. It came up quite a few times already in these questions that I address. Sometimes reading questions alone brings awareness. I don't know if necessarily the woman who it's being written about will hear it and think, oh, maybe that's an issue. But there are people that hear questions and they realize, maybe it was my husband that wrote that in, or maybe he would have been able to write something like that, and maybe it is really bothering him, and maybe now that I'm hearing it said and a shir, I can understand it. And sometimes, especially the double standard, let's call it, which people experience often of, yeah, for that person she'll do it and for me not, or for his brother, yeah, for me not. It's something to think about. It's not always the line that that differentiates between what's right and wrong. Somebody will do something for one person, yeah, one person not. But often when you hear it and it's expressed, and maybe. So that's something that I hope that people could think about. And maybe that alone accomplishes something. And I've heard people, I got feedback about people who say that just hearing certain questions really made a really influenced them and made a change. Another thing I want to say before addressing what I do want to address, which is not going to be exactly the question that was asked, is that whenever it comes to these things, there's more topics and details that have to be dealt with and addressed. One of them is a standards issue. Not because it sounds like there's anything going on here with a tznius problem. I'm just mentioning that people sometimes start comparing topics without realizing that, of course, there's so much that that is relevant to just understand and make sure that whatever it is that you do or don't want, whether it's in such areas or other areas, you know, it always has to be addressed to make sure that what you want is what we call ausgehalten and correct. And then there's the issue of control, which means even if what you want is right and justified, but then there's the issue of how it's presented. It's not, very often it turns into a controlling issue where somebody's telling the other person what they have to do, and that alone is unhealthy regardless of how right or wrong it is. So that's just a few topics that have to be addressed. So whenever somebody wants something for someone else, making sure that it's reasonable and appropriate and not controlling is just part of figuring out, you know, what we're talking about. Before figuring out how to go about it, just knowing what we're talking about. I want to add a perspective, even though maybe I wouldn't have. Maybe I would have slightly, but I'll just say it a little more. Sometimes when people come to me and I have a question on my table that I have to come up with I have to draft an answer, say a shiur about. So sometimes I'll say, you know, this is the question I'm going to be reading next week. What do you say about it? So I was talking to somebody who was going through difficulty in his marriage. Let's call it an abusive situation, relatively abusive situation, very not easy situation. And his answer, although he's an intelligent guy and generally reasonable, not somebody who I wasn't expecting that answer, I should say. And his answer was, seriously? That's your problem? That's what's bothering you in life? Again, you have a wonderful wife who's loving and caring, and she does have beautiful skin, by the way, but you know, you have an issue with the makeup. Grow up and get over it. Now, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's clearly wrong. Nobody should... We're all human. We're all allowed to be bothered by things. We're all allowed to want things. I don't think anyone should trivialize somebody else's concern or want or need or desire or obsession even. And I think everyone's entitled to be bothered by whatever it is. And whatever is bothering each person is to him very meaningful and very important. You know, whoever's in a worse situation than you would be happy to be in your situation. It's still, however, something to think about and say, you know what? Even if this never gets resolved, and even if I can't get what I want, I really do have to count my blessings. And it could be you do, I'm just mentioning it. When you're dealing with a situation, the point is not to disqualify, you know, the issue and say it's not important. But yeah, you do have to count your blessings and realize that sometimes, you know, just food for thought. You know, maybe this is the issue I'll deal with, and maybe I could be so grateful and focus so much on everything that I do have in my life that it will kind of start bothering me less, especially if I can't, you know, make it happen. Anyway, so that was just by way of introduction. So what I want to say now is like this. I don't want to address the issue of the makeup and the women finding favor in the husband's eyes, and the men being justified for wanting women to wear makeup and things like that, and how they dress and everything else. I happen to have addressed it recently in a Yiddish shiur, Parshas Vayigash. So for those listeners who hear both shiurim, which I know many people do, I did address it over there a little more at length. But what I think is more important over here is that I probably addressed this part as well over there, but I want to focus here not on the makeup and not on the, you know, on how reasonable or how credible or how entitled somebody is to want his wife to wear makeup, or how resistant the woman should be or shouldn't be about wearing makeup, only wearing makeup outside, inside. Let's talk more general. Makeup for a husband is just the mushal. It's just the mushal. It's just the example. What's the nimshal? What's the nimshal? And this could be both ways, men, women. You want something from your spouse and you can't get it. It could be anything. I want her to start making this and this food. I want her to put in salt into the chont. I want that when she goes to the grocery, she should buy me this bread and not that one. I want that she should stop turning on this tape because it makes me nervous. I like the other music tape. Whatever it is, you want something from somebody and you're not getting it. And you're trying, and you're getting excuses, and you're getting the runaround, and you can't get it. And that's very frustrating. It's very frustrating to not be able to get it. And it's very normal to get frustrated when you feel at least that you're being reasonable and you just can't get it. You don't know why. Just recently I was talking to somebody who was trying to help a friend who was behaving let's call it unreasonably, and the unreasonableness was the amount of frustration and the amount of obsession and the amount that he's talking about this issue and the amount that is bothering him. And it's true sometimes it's like, you know, come on, stop, you don't have to get all bent out of shape over something. But really, when you think about it, to want something that you feel is reasonable and logical and makes sense and you expect it and not be able to get it, it's very, very frustrating. It's very frustrating. It makes a person crazy. So the person outside doesn't understand the intense reaction. But when you look at it deeper, you see like, yeah, it is very frustrating to not get something you want when you think you're being very reasonable and you can't understand the resistance. Now, you always have to make sure that you're being reasonable and not trust yourself in this. And this is something I talk about often, you know, when people get too subjective, for whatever reason, they convince themselves that they have the right to something, and that the request or the, you know, whatever, or the demand is reasonable. And even if it's not reasonable for everyone, but at least for them it's reasonable, and they start rationalizing and justifying and getting all subjective about what they think is right without checking with other people. And sometimes they'll avoid it and say, well, I'm gonna ask someone else if they think, well, they think because, you know, but with me, with her, it's very important to make sure you're not being unreasonable when you want something, right? Very many people, especially now if I start talking about how to get your way with something, they'll put into this category what they think is reasonable, what they're trying to get. And in the meantime, maybe if you would have discussed it with somebody, you would hear that, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Really? That's what you asked your wife to do? Oh, no, no, no. People don't do that. And you might not even realize that you're dealing with something that's not as unreasonable as you think. It doesn't mean you can't ask for it, but it does mean that you shouldn't get as frustrated when you're not getting something unreasonable as when you should have been able to accomplish something reasonable. So I think the key with this and so many other things in life, mamish, that's just the way Hashem made it. The key to this and so many other things, aside from the general relationship, which sounds fine, obviously, there's always a bigger picture. Always a bigger picture. I don't want to leave that out, because some people say, well, how's the Shalom Bayis over there? It sounds like it's fine. Obviously, if you're not getting along with someone, it's a no-brainer that maybe that's why you're not able to, you know, get across your messages. But in general, when it comes to this and anything, communication is everything. That's the power of man. The reason why we're stronger and better and than anything else and anyone else is because we communicate with each other. Right? There are animals out there that are much stronger than we are. And the reason why we control them instead of them controlling us, and the reason why they're in the zoo or in the forest, and is only because we can communicate. We don't communicate with them, but we communicate with each other, and that's our strength. We would have to just make noises and wink to each other and try to figure out what we want. They probably have a better way of communicating between themselves and overpowering human beings. Human beings aren't necessarily stronger, but they could communicate. And that's how they use their cycle. That's how they get places. That's how they could become stronger. And that's how it is with everything. Animals don't have that power to communicate, and Nevi'im, prophets, don't need that power, right? They have, if you're a Nevi, you could be mind-reading. That's fine too. But most people don't have that. Very often we expect it of each other, but we don't have that. We expect things to be given. We expect things to be known. You should have figured it out. You should know what I'm thinking. You should know what I want. You should know what I like. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. The only way people could get along, the only way relationships work, is when there's communication. Now, when somebody wants his wife to do something, if he would just be sitting back and saying nothing, obviously, then he wouldn't even be getting frustrated, but he did say something. He said something. That's a great thing. That's already just communicating. But let me explain some mistakes. And I've done this in the past, I think. Let's call it 6 mistakes people make when they try to communicate something they want. The first thing, let's call it the first mistake. The first mistake is when they don't say it. Right? You want to communicate something, but you don't want to say it. You don't want to say it. Either because you expect someone to know it, or because one reason that you want someone to know, so you don't even want to have to say it. That's one reason. But another reason is because someone's ashamed to say it. It takes a certain amount of vulnerability, and call it confidence or call it vulnerability, to say, this is what I want. Yeah, I want it. I want it. Hey, why do you want that? Sometimes a person will ask you, sometimes they'll just think it, or sometimes you think they'll think it, and you're embarrassed. No, I'm not going to say I want that. That's so silly. But if you don't say it and communicate it, then you're not getting anywhere. And that would be silly. Another thing people do when they don't want to, when they don't communicate well, is that they're, in the name of being mevater, let's call it, they won't say what they want, hoping that, I'll be mevater. I was taught to be mevater. That's like the key in marriage, be mevater. Being mevater would have been a key in marriage if people would be mevater. But people aren't mevater. They keep their mouth shut, but they're not mevater. They build frustration. They build resentment. And it plots us somewhere. It plots us somewhere. I mentioned a book by Yisrael Kleinman that talks about that. How being mevater is sometimes the worst thing you can do in your marriage, because you're being mevater and you're getting angry every day. So you're not mevater. You're being angry. I spoke about this in the other shiur, in the Yiddish shiur, about chaos. The Pisetzner talks about it, when people control their anger, they're basically just holding it in, and when they get older, it plots out because they can't control themselves anymore. And you don't have to get older for that. People have that, you don't have to get older. It can happen after a week of holding it in, and it comes out somewhere else. You're not even communicating anymore about the issue that was bothering you in the first place. It happens to be, just because of what I said before, sometimes people are lacking the vulnerability. In this topic of men wanting their wives to look nice, let's call it, whether it's a little makeup or the way they dress, it's a relatively common knowledge. It's relatively common knowledge, even if you think, or even if your wife will tell you that, oh, come on, why are you busy with that, or why do you care? Chances are she heard that men do care about it, and there isn't all that much to be ashamed about. You might be trying to portray yourself as a big tzaddik who doesn't care, but if you do, then chances are that even if she wasn't expecting you to care, she probably will understand that, I guess he's also one of those very common, very often, things that happen that men really care. Okay. Another mistake that people make when they want to communicate something is they prepare that offensive. You know, Ukraine was preparing a big offensive against Russia. You come with this big offensive. You come with like a 5-page argument about why your wife should wear makeup. Everybody does it, and it's not normal not to do it. And you should really be doing much more than that, not even the little amount that I want. I'm only asking for Friday. Really, you should be doing it Tuesday also. And by the time you build a big case, and there's another 6 things you don't do for me anyway, so you have to understand. And people like building big cases. People like building big cases. They think that the bigger the case is and the more parts of it, the more components to the case, the easier it will be to present the argument. What they don't realize is that alone pushes people away. It pushes people away to hear you have a huge case against me, so I must be either crazy or bad, or I just get defensive and show you why you're not making sense. It's very hard for me to say, you're right, I'm doing 8 things wrong at a time. And that's something that people make a big mistake about. Similarly, people get very personal. People get very personal. Whether it's, I can't handle how you look, or it's not normal, and because you don't understand it. So why do people do that? Sometimes they feel like it will be easier for me to get my message across when I get personal, and you'll get hurt and offended and insulted, and maybe that's what's going to make you you want to make this work. And that's a big mistake. Another thing I'll tell you, another mistake, maybe I mentioned too many mistakes already, but sometimes people hide behind others. It says in that sefer, in that shir, that you're supposed to wear makeup. So really, I'm not into it. I don't really need it. But that's what it says. My brother told me, my sister said, stop hiding behind other people. It's a lack of confidence. And often it just takes away from your credibility to say something, because if you don't care, so why are you making me crazy what it says in the sefer? A lot of things say in the sefer. And the sefer only says if you care, and you don't care, and things like that. Another mistake people make when they try to communicate something they want. And again, this has nothing to do with makeup. This is about anything. Like I said before, this is about anything you want or not want. When people get all apologetic and say, I really shouldn't be asking you, and it's not nice of me, and I don't really care so much, but when you put the negel vaser over there and it spills, like, it could bother me sometimes. Usually I don't even care. It's just when I'm very tired that I can... And they get all vague and all, elusive, and they don't know how to say it the way they want and say that, yes, I care. So it's a big mistake. It's a big mistake. You're not communicating. You're not being clear. And the last mistake I'll mention is when people take the pushback too quickly. Right? I don't like when you put the nagel vaser over there, and the wife's like, yeah, but somewhere else I can't put it, and you're just causing me stress, and you're just making me crazy, and everything you ask me the whole day, and yeah, you're right, I'm sorry. Well, what are you sorry about? You want something, and your wife answered you, so talk about it. Why are you running away? That's another mistake people make in communication, when they run away. And it sounds like from the letter, without going back into the wording of it, it sounds like that's what you do. When you ask your wife something, she says, well, what are you getting? Oh, no, it's fine. And then you walk away feeling hurt. These are all mistakes. And I think, Meklal Lav Atashmaya Hen, I think it would be pretty easy for everyone to figure out the right way to do it, but let me try to break it down just to a few short things over here. 6, 7. Not always good with the numbers. The first thing is to say it. Right? When you want to communicate something, communicate it. And do it verbally. Don't do it with sending mind signals or beaming it or any kind of other ways. Say it. You have something to say, say it. You might even want to do it in writing, but that's a discussion of its own, when to and not to avoid verbal communication, when it might be easier. But the point is to communicate it. Make sure that you're saying it. The second point when you're communicating something is to disarm someone. Give all the justifications and all the arguments they might tell you. Write down on a paper, right? You want your wife to put in the kugel Thursday night instead of Friday morning, okay? Write down on a paper all the different things she might tell you when you ask her that. Why it's so hard for her, and why she can't do it, and why it doesn't make any sense, and why her mother didn't do it that way, and her grandmother didn't do it that way, and nobody does it that way, and it's crazy for you to ask, and you're not normal, and whatever. Write it down on a paper. And when you ask her, you tell her all these things, instead of waiting for her to tell it to you. This is a communication trick that I've taught people, and it works. I know that what I'm asking is not really so normal. And your mother and your grandmother and your great-grandmother never did it that way. And it could be that I'm the only person in the world that wants it that way. And I know that I ask you a lot of different things. You know, you give her all the excuses before you make your argument, which is the exact opposite of what I said before. Some people do. They come with their mother and their grandmother and everyone does it. And it's not, no, I don't ask you anything anyway. No point in that. Stick to your thing and give all the justification. Let someone feel good that you understand them and you're not asking them for something that you feel is given or something they should have got on their own, etc. And then take it on yourself. Don't say, the kugel is not good, nobody eats it, you didn't even like it yourself. No. I like it this way. Be clear that it's about you and how you feel and not something about anyone else. Now, and be very clear. That's another step in the thing. Be very clear. It's not like, I don't really care, but if you could do it anyway and it mamish doesn't make a difference, then I think I might notice. No. I like when it's done like this. It's my thing. You don't have to. I like when it's done like this. I like it much better. Much better. When you ask someone for something like this, which they don't have to, or for whatever reason you feel they might have resistance, give them the choice. Be clear about the fact before and after, even when you're done asking. It's up to you. You don't have to. You don't have to. If it's hard or whatever, you really don't have to. So you're not imposing, but you're not pulling back. You're not making believe you don't care. I do care. This is what I want. And you don't have to. And it makes it easier for people. Now, there are people who, as they're hearing this list, like, nah, well, some people don't have to communicate like that. You just say, please do it, don't, and it's fine. I'm talking about situations where you feel that for whatever reason, either because you know the person you're dealing with or from experience, it's not working. Try that. Let someone choose on their own. And when they say, I can't, it's too hard, no problem. I just want to live. And you'll be surprised how many people an hour later will come back or a day later or a week later. Say, you know what? I'll do it this way. And as you're communicating, thank the person for listening to you, for hearing you out. And if you could do it, I'll be very appreciative. You're telling them in advance that you'll appreciate it instead of making it sound like it's a given. Like, if it's anyway not a difference, why can't you? No. I will appreciate if you do it because I know that, you know, maybe it's probably easier the other way. And then be appreciative, obviously. But very importantly, and this was the other point that I mentioned before, stick to your thing. When somebody says, I don't want, and I don't care, and I don't, you don't have to say, okay, no problem, sorry I asked you. You can say, okay, no problem. You don't have to say, you're right, it didn't make any sense. Listen, if you can't, you can't. You don't have to. Don't pull back. You're allowed to give this soft pushback when somebody is just doing away with something that's important to you. You say, listen, it's important to me, but if you can't, if for whatever reason you feel it's not reasonable, you don't have to. You can't expect someone to want to do something that's hard for them, that they told you they don't want to do, and you told them they don't have to, and you just ran away and made believe it was wrong of you to even ask, and then expect them to still want to do it. If you say that you would still like for it to happen, and you still believe that it could happen if she could only try very hard, and it'll mean a lot to you, you'll be in a much better place. And don't use against the fact that, but for someone else she did it, and those kind of arguments that I mentioned before already. I'll add another point, which I think is also just, I said before that, you know, some people will feel like, you know, who needs that? And other people feel like, oh yeah, I sure need all these communication tips, and I can't handle that, I need it. I wish I wouldn't have to. Why can't I just expect my wife to understand what I want, especially if I once said it, I said it once 16 years ago, why didn't she hop, or why doesn't she know, or it's common knowledge. Don't get frustrated if you're dealing with somebody, for whatever reason, you have to communicate in a certain way to get things you want. Everyone has their qualities, and everyone has their deficiencies and shortcomings, and sometimes different people have different issues with different things, and different resistances, and different reasons why, for whatever reason, you have to tweak your methods and communications, and just deal with it. Instead of getting frustrated and angry and running away and resentful, deal with it. Deal with it. You're here anyway. And you want the makeup and you want the kugel and you want the thing. Deal with it. Instead of getting stuck on the personal frustration, which a lot of people do, which is just sad. It's sad to see people get so resentful and frustrated and just run away and dealing with someone crazy. And then you're left without the kugel. And then you're left without the bread and you're left without the makeup and you're left without whatever else it is. And of course, be extremely appreciative if somebody does take you seriously and somebody does want to help you. It's like we started off with V'chayni Yini Banayam. If you're looking at someone else and you see yourself there, it doesn't mean that you're taking blame for somebody else's resistance, but it does mean that you're able to understand what it is that you might be able to do differently to this person or for this person in general and in communication. And very often you'll be able to get very far. So I just want to make the short summary. You know, the issue over here was not specifically the makeup thing. And very often it's a small issue, and you should first count your blessings and be thankful for what you do have, and maybe being more thankful for what you already have will definitely... And I think that's part of what I said before about giving all the justifications. When you talk to your wife about this and you tell her, you know, you really are a special person, and you do so much for me already, you know, You want to be very thankful and focus on that. But in any case, if you want to get something from somebody and it's not going, try to communicate better. Try to not make the mistakes. Try to do things the right way. And I yourself, I think you'll be able to get across and be very appreciative and build a relationship and do things right in the future and live together.